of nature.
New York City is one step closer to a controversial mosque near Ground Zero. The ultimate slap in the face to the families of the victims of 9/11 or not. Two Republicans trashed the stimulus as nothing more than wasted money. I'll tell you why the Summertime Blues report is actually dead on. Anchor babies no more if the 14th Amendment is reconsidered, but what a legal nightmare that could end up being. We'll dive into that too. Plus, at the end of the hour, mystery solved. Wyclef Jean has a big announcement, or actually he made the big announcement, that I think is, it's not necessarily a mystery. It's a mystery why he didn't step forward before. If you put two and two together and I throw in Haiti, you might already know what the announcement's about. But we'll jump to that and a couple of other mysteries that were rather strange and unfolded in the last couple of days. Hey, everybody, this is Kate Delaney, America Tonight, as I broadcast live from Tampa, Florida. Man, I'm telling you, it is so hot in Tampa, Florida. I got off the plane and immediately my face turned fire engine red. It could be that I was dragging a 40-pound fossil behind me and a bunch of luggage, but that's another story. Right at the top, let's jump into the mosque and New York City and why this is a story that we continue to cover here on the show. And we looked at all different angles. If you know, we've looked at both sides of this. Well, what's happened now is the Landmarks Preservation Commission voted 9-0, 9-0, saying that the 152-year-old building that was just blocks from the site of September 11th terrorist attacks wasn't special or even distinctive enough in any way to meet the criteria to qualify as a landmark, because that was what so many who were against the possibility of the Cordova Initiative were pushing for. Hey, let's make this a landmark, and then it won't happen. Commissioners said that the other buildings from the era were better examples of the building style. This really, really makes it wide open as a possibility that the project will move forward. You've got national and New York politicians, and anybody has an opinion throwing their two cents on this. Even the Anti-Defamation League has come out in the last couple of weeks against plans for the mosque, saying it disrespects the memory of the people who were killed back in 2001. And not everyone agrees with that, including Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who chairs the foundation building the September 11th memorial. He's saying they've defended plans for the mosque, and he completely agrees. Check this out.
Of all our precious freedoms, the most important may be the freedom to worship as we wish. This morning, the city's Landmark Preservation Commission unanimously voted to not to extend landmark status to the building on Park Place where the mosque and community center are planned. The decision was based solely on the fact that there was little architectural significance to the building. But with or without landmark designation, there is nothing in the law that would prevent the owners from opening a mosque within the existing building. The simple fact is, this building is private property, and the owners have a right to use the building as a house of worship. And the government has no right whatsoever to deny that right. And if it were tried, the courts would almost certainly strike it down as a violation of the U.S. Constitution. Whatever you may think of the proposed mosque and community center, lost in the heat of the debate has been a basic question. Should government attempt to deny private citizens the right to build a house of worship on private property based on their particular religion? That may happen in other countries, but we should never allow it to happen here. This nation was founded on the principle that the government must never choose between religions or favor one over another. The World Trade Center site will forever hold a special place in our city, in our hearts. But we would be untrue to the best part of ourselves and who we are as New Yorkers and Americans if we said no to a mosque in Lower Manhattan. Let us not forget that Muslims were among those murdered on 9/11 and that our Muslim neighbors grieved with us as New Yorkers and as Americans.
All right, so you heard what Bloomberg said there at the tail end, that there were plenty of Muslim Americans who, somehow people forget, did die in the attacks. And the question is clear. Was this the right move for New York? Should those commissioners have cleared the way, because they have done that, for a mosque to be built near the World Trade Center, or is it way too sensitive for that to happen? And is this a huge mistake in the making? You can throw in your two cents always here on the show, left, right, or undecided. I don't care about your stripes. I care about the opinions. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. See, I've said this all along. Why even go there? The idea of the Cordova Initiative is to reach out, and this is what they're saying, is to reach out and bridge the gap with people of other religions and other backgrounds, and this is a way to heal feelings in New York City in particular. And if that really is true, I know there are other sites where they could build, and I think that the whole memorial thing was such a joke. And when I say it was such a joke, because of the plans being bungled and argued over and over again, and year after year, funding issues and who was going to be the architect and anything and everything seemed to get in the way of what was actually going to be put up in place of the buildings that went down. So now you have the city panel that says, yeah, go ahead and construct. You can do it. And there is massive uproar over this. You heard Bloomberg talk about this is an issue of religious freedom, and this is New York City, and this is what we are about. And then I just picked up on that at the tail end about, remember, there were Muslims who were killed on that horrible day in the city's history. So legally, the panel says that the 152-year-old building isn't distinct enough in any way to be considered a landmark, and then they talked about other buildings in the area that fit the bill a little bit more than that. So now this decision draws praise and massive criticism, and I think it sets up, if anything, a real ugly war of words that's going to continue, not just in New York, but I think in other places. So it certainly is a setback for the opponents of the mosque who say there's no question this rips at the heart of those that were killed at the hands of the Islamic terrorists. And you had probably maybe 60, 70, I don't know, people outside of where the panel was voting screaming, shame on you, shame on you. And then you had the American Center for Law and Justice, which is a conservative advocacy group, that announced it was going to challenge the panel's decision in state court on Wednesday. So here we go again in the battle of the courtroom. And then you've got the ACLU saying that, they're going to stand by this. They're going to try to help however they can. And the mosque, like I said, has become, if anything, a national political issue. 800-259-5791. We'll talk more about that on the flip side. Also, we're going to take a look at the stimulus and this new report that's come out that says, wow, how much of this money was thrown down a rat hole? I'll let you decide.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website,
yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms,
and not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
If you are concerned about heart health, have heart problems, or know someone who does, this message is for you. LifeWise Naturals introduces HeartWise with citronol, CoQ10, hawthorn, and more. For premium cardiovascular health, just 2 HeartWise capsules per day provide optimum levels of powerful nutrients to promote cardiovascular energy, healthy blood pressure, circulatory health, and normal cholesterol levels. HeartWise is made with patented ingredients using only research-based potencies of individual nutrients. This exclusive formulation works in multiple ways, providing comprehensive cardiovascular protection. A 30-day supply of HeartWise with citronol and CoQ10 is only $22.50. GCN listeners, order HeartWise now and receive a free bottle of True Pomegranate, one of the most effective superfoods and antioxidants available. Mention product code HEART when you call 800-643-9558, 800-643-9558, or go to freeheartoffer.com. That's freeheartoffer.com today.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up.
All right, just a re-rack here on America Tonight. A city commission in New York City denied landmark status to the building near the World Trade Center site that a group wants to convert to an Islamic center and mosque. I don't have to tell you how red hot this deal is. And, you know, I agree with the freedom of religion, absolutely. And I understand what Bloomberg's saying there, but just not so close to where so many lost their lives. Because I know for a fact in talking to some developers, not too far away from that area, there are plenty of good sites where the Cordova Initiative could also go. And I think this is just more than anything stubbornness. We're going to do this and we're going to build it there because we're going to try to prove a point. And it's a point I think that's going to blow up in their faces. Instead of reaching out and embracing the people of New York City, I think it's going to repel too many of them. And, you know, there's going to be protests during the building of it. And who knows, ultimately, the legal challenges will mount, but I don't believe they're going to have a leg to stand on in court. So I think the project does move forward. You can throw in your two cents like Jake did in Austin. Just shot me an email at americatonight.net. He says, Kate, thumbs down on this mosque near Ground Zero. I don't understand it. I went to New York about a year and a half ago. I heard you talk about it on the air, and I saw people with tears in their eyes, people taking pictures, people who looked like they were in shock, just trying to get a glimpse of what was once an incredible area and an incredible two buildings, actually, to go up in. And he's right. It used to be one of those one of those things that you wanted to see when you went to New York. You know, the Statue of Liberty, Empire State Building, and the World Trade Centers. So you can do it that way, AmericaTonight.net, or 800-259-5791. The next thing that I mentioned at the top was the fact that you can tell John McCain is running for office, can't you? He's been really active lately. So Senator McCain and Senator Coburn, two Republicans, issued a report on wasteful spending, and they're calling it pretty much the summertime blues. So we'll stick with that, the summertime blues report. And it's actually subtitled, 100 Stimulus Projects That Give Taxpayers the Blues. And you go down the report, and they are dead on. I mean, it's crazy, some of the waste in this. In fact, I had a conversation with Tom Schatz, a guy who's been on this show several times. He's the president of the Citizens Against Government Waste, and it's, you know, a watchdog organization. He's probably come on, I don't know, 15 times on America Tonight in the past 2 years. And he agrees with what the report has pointed out. So we thought it'd be fun to pull out the top 10 most wasteful projects. And there's others, and I've just scratched the surface in looking at it. But let's give you a couple of them. Check this out. Can you imagine? Over $500,000 was spent on replacing windows in a visitor center at Mount St. Helens. Now, the weird deal on that one is that the center closed, 3 years ago because nobody was using it. That's a problem. Then you have $750,000 that went to the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and that was to create a computerized dance choreography program. The university's overhead is 44% of the grant. There's something a little backwards about that one. I haven't even gotten to my favorite yet. $62 million was set aside for the North Shore Connector. This one is a light rail transportation deal for Pittsburgh, where you would get to go to a casino and two sports stadiums. Kind of sounds like a good deal, I don't know, to me if I was living in Pittsburgh. So Governor Ed Rendell called the project himself. He said it. He's a Democrat, right? He called the project a tragic mistake. In San Antonio, Texas, $7.3 million for the construction of two fire stations. Who's building these fire stations? The city was about to build the stations itself, but then, hey, why did they have to spend the money? Federal funding was there, so they took the money from the government. And then with the compliance with the federal regulations, there have been a whole bunch of delays. So the crazy thing about this is they're not even sure when the stations are going to be built. So maybe they're regretting that decision. They might have been better off sticking with this city money after all. I like this one, too. $1.2 million to convert an abandoned train station into a museum in Glassboro, New Jersey. Not too far from... I know! Not too far from where I grew up. So they ponied up $250,000 to buy it in 2002, but they haven't even done any work on it. So now they're going to invest another $1 million to change what has now become a graffiti-riddled station that was built, get a load of this, in 1860 into a museum and welcome center. Although I can kind of go with this one a little bit. I can kind of hang with this one a little bit better than the windows deal. Then you have nearly $2 million for the California Academy of Sciences to send researchers to an island in the Southwest Indian Ocean and to East Africa to photograph ants.
Awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
I thought I was misreading this. I went back a couple of times, but no, $2 million bucks to go after ants. Why can't I ever get on these projects? And so the pictures are going to be posted on a website devoted to ants. How about getting rid of some of those red ants, those fire ants? You ever have an encounter with fire ants? Look down at your ankles and you can't even really see your skin anymore? That would be a little more useful, I think. A $1.8 million road project in Ohio that is being built so close to a preacher's house that it has cracked his foundation And now they've got this crane that has smashed into his front porch twice. What, the crane operator doesn't know that the porch is there? Oops, sorry, got the porch once, got to get it again. We're going to need more money to repair this sucker. And then in 2004, the government ponied up $661,000 to refurbish the Fitchburg Furnace Building in Fitchburg, Kentucky. I know a lot of you Kentucky guys listening probably know exactly where it is and what I'm talking about. So the treasurer of the Friends of Fitchburg says that most of the money was lost because of, this is what he called it, bad stewardship of money. What is bad stewardship of money? So thanks to the stimulus, the project is getting $350,000. Next time you have problems, financial problems, like you can't pay your electric bill, just write on it, bad stewardship of money. I'm going to see how that works out for me. In Kern County, California, the government invested $308 million for a power plant to generate more environmentally friendly electricity. Sounds good, right? By capturing carbon dioxide from the burning of fossil fuels. But the groundbreaking isn't scheduled until December of 2011. And then here's another one for you. Oklahoma, Boynton, Oklahoma. Their town got almost $90,000 to build a quarter mile long sidewalk. The new sidewalk leads to a ditch and replaces one that still is in good condition. It was built just 5 years ago. Whoa, what? Okay, and this is the best. I was just at an aquarium that had some chimps, some really cool rainforest chimps, and they weren't asking for any stimulus money. But Georgia State University was asking for some money. The researchers there got almost $700,000 to compare how monkeys and chimps respond to distributional inequality and unfairness. And then another $73,000 went to Wake Forest to study how, and this is the one I think most people are beating up on in the media anyway, went to study how monkeys react under the influence of cocaine. How do you think they react? How do you think they react? Anyway, coming up on the flip side, you can shoot me your ideas on where you think that money would be better spent. I got a pretty long list. Anyway, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. What does John McCain say? We'll take you there.
Omega-3 oils. What do you really know about their health benefits? Welcome to GreatPlainsFlax.com. Quality flax seeds right to your door. The golden flax seed from GreatPlainsFlax.com is 99.75% pure foundation grade, the purest, highest grade flax seed available. Benefits of golden flax seed include the natural properties of fiber, lignans, and omega-3 fatty acids that provide preventative and restorative abilities to your diet. Lignans help reduce the possibility of colon, breast, and prostate cancers. Other great benefits flax seed provides are lowering cholesterol, blood pressure, and health and weight loss. Plus, it's perfect for pets, too. To learn more about other flaxseed benefits, plus get recipes and see current research, go to GreatPlainsFlax.com. Enjoy free shipping of our golden omega flax seeds within the lower 48 states. Prices start at just $22.95. Call 866-834-7485. That's 866-834-7485. Or visit GreatPlainsFlax.com. Quality flax seeds right to your door.
On air, online, and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
So, you're rolling your own, eh? Me too. And you better keep rolling with the best, rollingpapers.com. The best site on the web with over 1,500 products. Whether hemp, rice, flax, or pulp, we've got your rolling papers. For store owners, rollingpapers.com has wholesale pricing and display boxes. Papers, tubes, filters, rolling machines in hundreds of brands, sizes, and styles. Hey, try the new Big Bag brand available at rollingpapers.com. We are centrally located and quickly package and ship daily to anywhere in the world. Adult consumers can buy one individually to sample or for the best prices, select any of the wholesale displays available direct from the pros at rollingpapers.com. No minimum purchase required and a friendly, helpful staff. You won't believe the selection and great pricing at rollingpapers.com. Retail, wholesale, import, and export. Keep rolling your own with rollingpapers.com.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog.
Wow.
Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull.
Wow.
You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com.
Wow.
The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Wow.
These are public funds, taxpayers' dollars, $862 billion that was supposed to be to create jobs. And clearly, these do not create jobs, and they're rife with fraud, abuse, and waste. It is gross mismanagement and misappropriation of taxpayers' dollars.
John McCain goes off on what the stimulus money was being used for. Personally, if somebody gets $2 million to go and photograph ants, bravo, more power to them. But there has to be other ways to use the money. I can think of a few studies off the top of my head that would be of more interest, like what are the baby boomers going to do when Social Security runs out? Please, oh, please tell us. I mean, seriously, there are better projects, I believe, that could have used the money, could have used the boost, but for whatever reason, there's always going to be some of that. But it seems like the projects specifically that were pulled out are rather odd, and especially when you have dormant things like, okay, they don't use the facility, but let's give them millions to replace windows. That makes absolutely no sense to me anyway. If somebody sees it a little bit differently, please enlighten me. And, you know, it's easy to jump on that. Easy to jump on that. Speaking of easy to jump on, if you go to the blog, if you go to americatonight.net, I have a story about what's going on with Charlie Rangel and his congressional seat that he's held on to forever. I mean, he's done. But he's got a trial that's coming up in the fall, which will be deadly as we get closer to those midterm elections. And then Maxine Waters, and specifically I focus on her, she is really in the thick of it. The interesting thing about what happened with Maxine Waters, with the congresswoman from California, she had a chance to back off of that. In fact, was warned by other members of Congress, boy, you don't really want to go here during that whole bank bailout thing, because this isn't going to look right. This is going to come off badly. And she did it anyway. And I think they're going to end up in the same situation with her. And if you go to the blog, Notes from a Scorecard, there's more details on that. We did talk about that a little bit on our previous show. We've got some great odds and ends that we're going to dive into here, including, you know, the whole idea of odds and ends is some of the off-the-cuff stuff that's also happening, because we like to say that America Tonight is all about the water cooler buzz, and we serve it up better than anybody does in the overnight. So NASA, I didn't realize this because I was checking into the whole shuttle thing since I was going to be in Florida. With all the delays and everything that's happened, NASA is kind of playing this waiting game as to what's going to happen with all of the ships, what's going to happen with all the shuttles. You keep hearing about the Smithsonian, but apparently, and I guess I just assumed what everybody else assumed, that it was a layup, that that's where the shuttles, for the most part, were going to end up, but that's not so. The idea is that there are 21 museums in the running for a piece of the shuttle pie. So it's not the end yet to the NASA show. There's still some more shuttles that are yet to go, and there's, like I said, massive delays that have happened, and that's going to go into 2011, so that's good. That means maybe I have a chance, a prayer of timing things so that I can actually watch a shuttle. But I think it's interesting that there are a lot of museums, and it makes sense, who want a piece of one of the shuttles. They want something to do with the shuttles, and they're not necessarily all space-oriented museums. I don't know, Matt, when you were a kid, were you interested in space? I think we've talked about this before. Did you have a fascination with what was happening next and, you know, who the astronauts were and all that kind of stuff?
Not really.
No, you were watching cartoons.
I don't know. It wasn't that interesting in my eyes, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't in the, I don't know. It didn't, not a lot happened, I guess, when I was younger. I mean, we had the, I don't know. NASA wasn't a big deal.
You know what probably is? It's a generational thing. You start with the first man on the moon and how big that was, and then you go through the various astronauts and what they were able to do, and then the talk about Mars. And it has been, not for the astronauts, but it has been projects like up at the International Space Station, replacing things. And it's not as sexy. NASA isn't as sexy to some of the younger people as it is to maybe folks in their 40s, 50s, and certainly in their 60s and above.
See, what?
Because that's what everything was happening that was exciting.
And see, my earliest recollection is the Challenger crash in, what was that, like 86 or 87?
Yeah, 86.
And then they shut down everything for a while when I was younger, so there wasn't a lot of space travel going on. And, I mean, then, I don't know, when I was maybe in high school, they did the Hubble telescope. That's boring. I mean, you know, it's like there wasn't a lot of, I don't know, exciting things going on.
Yeah, and that's probably what it is. They're talking about the finding the final homes for the shuttles, and they've been talking about that since January. That's when they made what they called the last round of calls for shuttle suitors. You got to love that. And they, because of how there's been a pushback to 2011, like the Space Shuttle Discovery, for example, was promised to the Smithsonian, and that's, I guess, why I assumed that that's where whatever the Smithsonian wanted they were going to get. That was promised to the Smithsonian since 2008, and it was supposed to fly its last flight in September, but they needed more time to
prepare that, what they call that storage module that's going to, that they're going to add to the International Space Station. And see, that utility kind of stuff that they're doing is probably why you have a disconnect with, like I said, some of the younger people who don't understand the value of space exploration. The Endeavor with the shuttle Atlantis, they haven't been assigned to a museum yet, and they're supposed to fly in the November time frame. That's when the Discovery is now going to launch. So the target date is for February of 2011. You know, most people were probably like, "Oh, we gotta go down that, we gotta beat that horse." But I was like, "Wow, this gives me a second chance at this." I mean, even NASA said that they would be willing to have America Tonight go out there and do a show from there. We could just not get it together soon enough. So maybe we're gonna actually have a chance at that. All right, speaking of the Challenger of a different sort, it's not yet the end to a Tea Party Challenger, Sharon Angle. I think people just want to see what she's going to say next. She is definitely the darling of the Tea Party, and it looked like her ship was sinking fast with some of the slip-ups, because at one point in the polls, Senator Reid had a 52-36% edge. But check it out. Just as this was leaving my lips the other day, I did a double sweep back on this and found out that a new poll actually has the numbers a little bit different. Reid has 48% to Engel's 44%. So, you know, I say this all the time. You can manipulate polls in a lot of different ways to say a lot of different things. But there's a reason why there are polls. There's a reason why so much is invested in polls with candidates, because there is an aspect to it where you can take some predictions from it, and that's a big swing. So what happened? Well, what happened was Sharon Angle got a hard lesson in politics and was, I don't want to say pushed back, but I'll say shelved, and told not to really go out there and talk to the media. And had a little bit of a makeover. I don't mean a physical makeover, but what she was verbally saying, what the issues were. And that might have been the big change. Or people are just, at least the ones that were polled, the likely voters are just sick of Harry Reid and decided, well, whoever's in there is better than Harry Reid. But I don't think it was that. I think it was what my one buddy told me at the Sun-Times. It was kind of a verbal makeover, which, anybody who's new to the game of politics, man, you got to do that. And I think when you're a brand new candidate and suddenly you can't believe you're in that position, then you start getting the hardball questions and you realize, wow, I mean, I got to think this through. And I don't think that there was a lot of thinking through on her part, and that's where she started to trip up. All right, here's our last one. For what I'm going to call loosely odds and ends, this is one for the books, certainly. In Houston, I found out, and I think now it's being reported anyway, but Continental, because I had a cousin that was flying on Continental is doing this experiment of self-boarding. Are you kidding me? I don't know. Maybe you think that's good. So you just go and board. You go through the checks, and you get rid of your luggage, and then when the plane pulls up and the plane's at the gate, you're boarding yourself. See, here's the problem with that. If you're on a big plane, you know how people are crinkling their boarding passes in their back pockets and trying to zip them through themselves. I think that would be disastrous. Then there's sure to be somebody who's going to pack too much in their bag, and you do that overhead mambo, and I see fistfights breaking out over that. I see problems. I see chaos with it, if nothing else. Then there's the aspect of, is it more dangerous? Well, I don't think there's anything to do with danger, because really, if somebody was going to get through with something, they're going to get through anyway, because you've got a flight attendant basically saying, you know, hello, and taking your boarding pass and pushing it through the machine. So there wouldn't be a big difference there, but I think it could lead to some chaos. Continental says so far so good. We'll see, because if it works for them, trust me, other people are going to do it. Hang with us. Coming up on the flip side, mystery solved.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, then go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, if I was president, yeah, yeah. That money so we can feed the poor, cause I know someone Flatbush, when it rains that's when they shower, scream and fight the power.
That's Wyclef Jean talking about If I Were President. That's his song, right? So now he's actually hoping to be president. He wants to run for the president of Haiti. The singer spokesperson won't actually confirm this, but an announcement is imminent. Apparently, he's going to be on Larry King in the next couple of days to officially do that. And if you've seen Wyclef Jean and any of the things that he's done, in fact, I want to say it was HBO or one of the cable networks. There was some documentary I watched maybe 4 years ago, and he was part of it, and he was talking about how awful he felt for the people in Haiti and his people and what he wanted to do and things that he was trying to reach out, things that he was doing to try to reach out and help some of the kids there. So he's always had a soft spot, obviously, and you know about his charity. Somehow he must have decided, well, there's too much chaos here, and there are too many problems since the earthquake, and I seem to be the one who's in the middle of this with my nonprofit agency. Perhaps I'm the guy to step in here and do something about it. So do you think a hip-hop artist who has a Haitian background would fit as the president of that country? And, you know, when I think of that question, I can only say with all the corruption and problems they've had before, why not? The guy has money. The guy has connections. Who knows? He could probably learn the rest. So he apparently is going to run in the November 28th elections when they actually elect a new president. And he's going to make the announcement on Thursday on Larry King. And he's certainly popular in Haiti for his work through his charity, which has raised millions of dollars since the earthquake. You know, that earthquake took the lives of how many? 300,000 people or more, and pretty much decimated the government and a lot of the homes in the capital. And there have been rumors about this. There have been rumors that he might run. And he's always said that he would be interested in doing a little bit more for Haiti. And how ironic, he's got the song, If I Was President. 37 years old, grew up outside Port-au-Prince, but he left as a really young kid and went to Brooklyn. I don't know. I like it. Matt, what do you think? Do you like Wyclef Jean running for president? Do you think it's a good fit?
Well, given the state of that country, the way it's been the last decade or so, and even longer than that, but especially the last decade, it's not like he could do a worse job. You know, I mean, it needs all the help it can get, and he has the money to do it and a lot of connections, so I don't see it as a bad idea.
I don't either. That's exactly what I said. With the connections he has, with the money he has, with the feelings he obviously emotes for the people of Haiti, why not? And you think of what's happened there in the past decade, he certainly couldn't do any worse. And probably he'll... What would be a really cool story is if he gets it, which I think he would. He gets the gig, goes in there, and totally re-racks the fate of the Haitians. And then he's like hailed as the biggest hero. I wouldn't be surprised by that. All right, part of Mystery Solved, sometimes it's sad stories, right? Including this one. We didn't even touch on this at the beginning of the show. But 9 people are dead as a result of a shooting at, and I know we have a lot of people listening to us in Connecticut, a beer distributor ship. What happened was the guy was a former employee who was caught stealing, so he was axed. He was asked to resign his job. And then he came back and went on a shooting rampage. He killed 8 people, and he injured 2 more, and then he what I call chickened out, and he killed himself. So this 34-year-old guy, Omar Thornton, has significantly altered the lives of who knows how many people. Because you draw a tree. It's not just the immediate family. It's all the people connected. He simply pulled out a gun after a meeting where he was, and this was what was so strange. He went into the meeting. He was shown the video evidence. Hey, you know, sorry, dude, we got to do this. Look, here's what we caught you doing. And he was actually offered the chance to quit or be fired. And then he went hysterical. People who saw him but managed to escape being shot say that he was cool and calm, and it was very eerie. He didn't yell. He was described as cold as ice. And he didn't even have any kind of a protest when he was told that they wanted to have a meeting with him to show him the video. He didn't complain. He didn't do anything. He didn't deny anything. He just agreed to resign. But then he pulls out the gun and starts blasting. He had the gun stashed in his lunchbox. That's what they think. So he must have known that something was going on, or why would he have them in the lunchbox? And there were about 70 people or so at this warehouse. And this is just 10 miles east of Hartford. And a lot of people were there during a shift change when he did, it was early in the morning, like 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, you're barely coming in to work, you're tired, whatever. And certainly many of you third shifters listening to me know all about that. And I know that there are so many of you who work in big plants and for distributorships and work with a lot of people. And it starts to bring up that question again. Who around you is a kook? Who around you could do something like this idiot did that's, like I said, significantly alters the lives of way too many people? You know, I don't get it. You feel like you've been done wrong, and he stole. He flat out stole. They had him on the video. So it wasn't, he said, she said, it wasn't some other kind of allegation that was unproven. They flat out had him on video. So he cheated. He screwed up, and as a result, he decides, well, I'm just going to take people down with me, and I'm just going to bail. And that's shocking. I mean, I don't think the people who called him into that meeting expected that that was going to happen. And imagine making a phone call to those families. And the word apparently spread pretty fast, and which meant that everybody was scrambling to find out if they knew anybody that was there at the warehouse when it happened during the rampage. But, man, that is just awful. I mean, awful, awful stuff. All right, the last one for Mystery Solved this time around quickly is this interesting thing that I happened to read when I was looking at a bunch of papers earlier today. I think it's a question that all of us can relate to. I mean, a lot of you guys can relate to this, and certainly I know a lot of women like that listen to the show can relate to this. There was a story that came out about the obesity rate at nearly 27% and rising. But now there was a scientific study that backed this up that actually said it's higher. It's 34%. 27, 34%, whatever. But experts say that the 27% is probably an underestimate, and it's because it's based only on what people say. How many people really tell their real weight? It's like when somebody goes for a driver's license and they ask you how much you weigh, or you put on, usually they ask you, you fill it out. And I guarantee you, man, woman, even if you think you look good, even if you think you're in decent shape or you're the right weight, I mean, how many people are writing, I don't know, 20, 30 pounds less? And they actually, the CDC, they talked to like 500,000 people when they put this together. And they look at the body mass index. So under that formula, it would be a 5'10" man would have to fit the description if he weighed at least 209 pounds. Under the same formula, a 5'4" woman, same thing, if she's 174 pounds or more. Ooh. I know people are starting diets just as that leaves my lips. Hey, you have any thoughts on the show? You can send them to me at americatonight.net.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
Is this a business decision or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.